I wanted to do this time is I wanted to sing our intro song.
I felt like you had a different desire.
So I just did it anyways.
I could feel there was trepidation in the ooh.
Ooh, I controlled my impulse.
Oh! What a good segue.
Well, I like a nice segue.
Guys, today we are talking about the most fun topic ever. Today, Kristen and I are talking about being control freaks.
Why does the topic of being a control freak literally slightly make me sick to my stomach?
It's been one of those weeks where sometimes I'm so excited to go into the curriculum, like when we declare what we're teaching on, and I just feel so excited for what the week's going to reveal. And this week was one of those weeks of kind of like dreading.
Yeah.
You know, even though I knew it was going to be miraculous, it's like, ugh.
right, exactly. Well, you know, I think I'm just hilarious to myself because I like to think of myself as like this like easygoing, like free California hippie girl. And so then we teach on control freak. I get to watch like how my control issues subvert themselves and they hide in the most interesting and charming places with like
sneaky
with the best disguises.
Yeah.
And it's so cute. I like to watch how my control issues will take me out of heaven, right? Like how in this moment, like, you know, as all the great spiritual masters will say and Eckhart Tolle will say, like, if we're totally here in this moment, all is well.
Is this so funny? Because yesterday when we were driving, you brought up this moment of like, oh, we're having the best time. We were driving out of town to go on a little adventure with our best friends.
We went apple picking.
It was so joyous. We'll talk about it. And we were driving and it was like the most beautiful day. The trees were chained. We were having the deepest conversation. And all of a sudden you were like, now my ego wants to tell me, did I turn my stove off? You know, like, like ego wants to take me out of this moment and control, like I'm having too much fun. Yes. So I have to like control something. And as soon as you said that, I was like, did I blow my candle out? And like, the level of like unrest.
Yes.
that wanted to take over.
It's like warning, entering the state of heaven, entering so much beauty and joy. Quick, find something to worry about. Find something to control.
I love my teacher, Christy, always says, if there's nothing to worry about, I will worry about that. It's like, why is there nothing to worry about? What's wrong? What am I not seeing? So, in a way, that's also we have a perception that life is a certain way, and we want to control that it is the case.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's control issues are so sticky for us because I think, well, as you said so wonderfully in our lecture notes when they arrived in my email box, you guys, I open up my email box and there's this like note from Natalie. She said there's two types of control by avoidance or control by attachment. And I almost fell out of my desk chair. Like I had one of those moments and I was like, oh, yes, that's true. Now I'm back to that sick feeling in my stomach. Okay.
There it is. So here's what I was thinking about in... It first came to me as this idea of control by avoidance because, you know, my perception of myself is not that I necessarily walk around the world with my agenda trying to make everyone do it. My perception of myself is that for the most part, I try to execute my own agenda and I do my absolute best to allow everyone else their own process. Totally imperfectly, sometimes it doesn't work out. For me, however, I started feeling like maybe my control stuff comes up more through avoidance. And specifically what I was thinking about was, when do I have a truth that I want to speak? Or there's something I want to say, but I'm so worried about how someone is going to receive it or what they're going to say about me, if, or are they going to get mad at me, that I then choose to not say it. Right? It's like I will choose to keep it inside of myself and take it to my journal and pray about it and meditate it and work it out internally. But then I was starting to see, isn't that me being controlling? Because aren't I controlling the other person by not telling them the truth and giving them the dignity of their response? And I'm choosing to not say it because I can't control their response. Yeah. It's like if I know the outcome is going to be heaven, I'll always say the truth, right? I don't have any problem saying the truth to you, Kristen, because I trust fully that no matter what I say, you will go, okay, you know, whether you agree or disagree, you are not going to meet me with judgment or anger. You're going to meet me with listening. So it's very easy for me to speak truth to you. Whereas where do I not want to speak the truth? Because I can't control that someone's going to give me the answer that I want. And so can I own the control freak in me that under the guise of protecting everyone, I'm actually being very controlling.
Mm.
So that's where the conversation started for me. And then, you know, and you came back with this kind of list of like, oh, here's additional ways. And I'm like, yes. Oh, all of these.
Yeah, you know, what came up for me, and I did a little research, and one of the things that I, as soon as I heard control by avoidance, I started thinking of like, oh, I know something that runs in my family is this passive-aggressive personality. I remember once in my early 20s, a producer I loved said to me, you have some passive-aggressive tendencies, Kristen. And I literally remember being in shock. I was like, I'm not passive-aggressive. And then I think I went and looked up. I think
what
I was,
that means?
I think I was like 23 years old. And when I found that like passive-aggressiveness was saying yes when you don't actually mean yes, then I was like, oh, actually, I was taught that in my family of origin. Do you know what I mean? Like that anything to spare conflict kind of idea. And I was like, oh, she's just really asking me to say exactly what I mean and not couch it in niceness.
Wow.
Because, like, as I was raised, niceness was valued more than truth.
Ooh.
Do you know? And so the calling of my healing is, can I value truth as much as I value kindness and love, because they're actually the same thing, right? So, you know, one of the interesting things about a passive-aggressive personality is they will say yes, and then they'll not mean it, and they'll find a way to sabotage it.
Or avoid it. Or cancel, or have an excuse.
Exactly, all of those
things. Or do
things.
It begrudgingly.
Yeah, that's right. And so, what is interesting is, like, in the same way, they're trying to control the other person by, like, they don't want anyone mad at them, or they don't want to get into a conversation about it. So they're actually just controlling someone by not giving them all of the information, right? And that, like, that one of the things when you and I were talking about it earlier this morning that I loved, and I'm just going to quote you. The control, we're really controlling by avoidance because we don't trust life.
Yeah.
Right? We don't trust the course of life. We don't trust that we can handle it. We don't trust others.
Yeah.
And I think that can happen sometimes when someone's really been abused as a child. And by abused, I mean physically or just verbally or emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes if you had a really tough childhood, you learned it wasn't safe to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You learn like, okay, if I tell the truth, I get hit, I get punished, I get manipulated, I get screamed at, I get told I'm wrong. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my truth and I'm going to plant it deep down. And sometimes it's interesting if someone will have this issue, like they can sometimes feel very powerless in life.
Yes.
Because they are taking all of their truth and they're pushing it all the way down. And then if you're pushing all of this down, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of actual power to put a plug on the truth in the middle of your gut.
Yeah.
Right? So it's almost, so your truth is like this like engine that wants to go out into the world and create huge change, that came to like make, to use your specific kind of genius to create realignment in the world.
Mm.
But if you're not letting it come out, you have to put a lot of inertia to keep it in.
Yes.
So addictions or food or all of this kind of like, you can think of like stopping up.
Yeah.
This like, and so you get all this built up energy. Sometimes in certain people, like it can show up as like weight around the middle, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like this kind of intense repression.
Mm.
And it's actually causing the thing that they most want to correct in their life. So they're wanting to feel powerful. They're wanting to feel connected. They're wanting to feel an exchange. They're wanting to feel valued, but not realizing that their own truth got put into hiding, and it's their job then to pull it up and out.
Wow. To not try to control the truth.
It came for its own job. So just like our dharma came for its own job on the planet, our truth also came with its own job on the planet. It's not our job to control it. It's just our job to say it as clearly as possible.
And we talk often about, you know, when it comes to relinquishing the control and speaking from truth, and yoga has the beautiful word for truth that I love, satya.
Mm-hmm.
And satya is like in yoga, there's always a dual nature to life, to things, mm-hmm. to elements. And this word has that duality of, is it honest and is it kind? And we all know those people that are like so honest, but there's no kindness in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all know the people that are so kind that there's very little honesty in it. And so the job of truth is not to just go out and tell everyone mm-hmm. what you think of them. The job of truth is actually to go inside first and to know that anything that is showing up outside of ourselves, we talk about this all the time, but we don't want or need to waste our energy controlling our partners, our jobs, our relationships, our auditions, our agents, because all of them are only pointing to something inside of ourselves. So when we can actually get honest and kind with ourselves, you know, we were talking this morning and I was mentioning, you know, sometimes what comes up in me is like a lack of loving the process. Like when you make a mistake and you're really hard on yourself and you somehow think that being hard on yourself is going to make you do it better next time.
Yeah.
But all that being hard on yourself does is keep you out of heaven. It keeps you out of love. It keeps you out of the truth of who you are, which is you are having a human experience and you're supposed to make mistakes. That's actually part of the game.
Yeah.
And so when you shame yourself for doing those things, then you get out of alignment with your own truth. And I think when we can start to be in relationship with that in a healthy way, and we can start knowing the truth inside of ourselves, then the way we speak out into the world doesn't have to be controlling. It can be expressive.
That's right. Whew. All right, now you ready for the second type kind of control?
Here we go.
All right. Second kind of control is a control by attachment. So this kind of control is when we get into trying to like muscling energy, trying to make something happen, to force it, to push it. So you can think of that like a domineering personality, like the my way or the highway.
Mm.
Now, control by attachment can also be control by seduction.
Tell me more.
Well, this is interesting, right? So sometimes like you try to make something happen, to force it, to push it. But another way that we try to like manipulate life, like, so think of like trying to like force your agenda, trying to push your agenda, trying to like make, you know, you're trying to make something happen. Sometimes how we try to make something happen is through this idea of like, I'm going to paint it this way, or I'm going to seduce over here. Mm. There's still this thing of like, I don't trust enough. So I feel like I have to add more on.
Oh,
does that make sense?
It's like the feeling of like giving someone a stinky, rotten gift, but wrapping it in the most beautiful packaging.
Yes, that's right.
So it's like, oh, or bragging it up.
Oh, and don't you hate that? I hate that. This is a pet peeve of mine, friends, is when someone has to tell you bad news, but it's too dressed up.
Mm.
Like, I like a good, like, say I'm getting notes from someone on a screenplay. Like, I like it when they tell me what I've done right and then where I could use some correction. But what feels icky is when someone comes to you and it's like dressed up in the prettiest thing, but it is the stinkiness. It's the stinkiest thing.
And then you
literally feel like there's like a dirtiness to it. Do you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I often feel that way where sometimes we get all of this, these spiritual tools or this like beautiful language
mm-hmm.
And we can kind of use it against people. We can use it to be self-righteous. We can
yes.
use it to say I'm better or I know more than you.
Yeah.
And there's something about it that always feels really, really icky.
Yeah.
It, you know, because it is sort of designed to create separation. and it's a design for me to control you by saying I know better.
That's it. It's like it's creating this kind of like a strata or status.
Mm.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about in terms of our careers or our art, you know, is that the idea of controlling our manifestation.
Yes.
Right? So often we try to control how something in our lives plays out. So whether, so you know, our career or our art or how a certain project goes, we all know what it feels like when we get into that place where it feels like I am hustling. And that's why we try to like take that word out a little bit, hustling, because
yeah.
It sometimes has this kind of like, there's something about it that feels like control instead of flow.
Mm. It's like a dam instead of a water.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how much energy does it take to be a log and a jam holding the water back,
yes,
versus the natural energy of just being the water that's flowing?
Well, there's something interesting about, like, when I think of a domineering personality and, like, someone who's trying to stridently push their agenda, is there's this lack of listening on the other side,
yeah,
right? So when someone's pushing their case really hard and really forward, it's like they're not being receptive to the other side.
Mm.
And so again, it comes back to that story of separation. And you actually can't get very far if you're not recognizing that we're all one. So
right.
So that you need the whole in order to move forward,
mm,
right? So that's when you feel... and we all have felt that kind of energy coming at us before when something feels incredibly aggressive.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's so scary or can be so domineering that we want to like bow and get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it can also be control through attaching, and it doesn't look that dominant.
Mm,
sometimes it can look very soft.
Mm.
Sometimes I think we control others by playing the victim.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think we want people to feel sorry for us, and then we manipulate a response. I know that there was a long time in my life where I loved to play the underdog because I felt like everyone roots for the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt this moment when I started becoming more successful and more independent, I could feel that certain relationships that loved me in that position didn't know how to love me in another position. And it felt so rejecting to me that it became this really difficult thing to continue moving forward, because I knew that things would get lost along the way, and it just broke my heart so much. But it would be a manipulation and a control of others to paint myself a certain way to get their love.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's like when I hear you say that, like to get their love, it's like that's the thing about control, is there's always something that you're trying to get,
mm,
which comes back to this idea that you don't already have it already.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, we talked about control by attachment happens because we don't trust ourselves.
Yes.
Right. We don't trust our own innate goodness, our own innate knowingness. We don't trust that we're enough. Because what else? You know, the other thing that falls into this category is when you're being controlled by an illness or an addiction or a disease or someone else's bad behavior.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So often, sometimes under the guise of like, thinking like I'm being a good person or I'm being empathetic or I'm being understanding, we allow ourselves to be controlled by someone else's behavior.
The siren of truth.
The siren is going by.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I had a really funny moment this morning where I was telling you, I woke up and there was like really loud music playing. It was like someone had an all-nighter in the upstairs apartment. And I really... was like, well, let me be so spiritual about this. Let me just meditate. Let me write in my journal, you know, like, let me just be one with the distraction, but like not make it wrong. And ultimately the calling was just to go upstairs, knock on the door and say, can you please turn your music down? And it was the easiest thing in the world. And it struck fear and anxiety in me to have,
yes,
to do that.
Yes.
But it's like, that kind of makes me feel that way of like someone else's loud noises. It wasn't the spiritual thing for me to do to just say, well, it's just my job to transcend it.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually my job to take an action, to speak my truth, and then surrender the results.
Mm-hmm.
If they choose to turn it down or not, If they turn it down only a little, mm-hmm. whatever happens after that, I can't control.
That's right.
Kyle Cease has this great quote that says, anxiety, I'm paraphrasing because the quote's not in front of me, anxiety is trying to control what you can't instead of what you can. So it's like I was sitting in anxiety over this music because I felt like I couldn't control it, rather than knowing there is an action step I can take. And then afterwards, then I surrender, then I let it go. So I think sometimes we just have to get still and listen, because it feels like control is always going to show up in our lives, whether it's us controlling or us feeling controlled. It's pointing to a place in life where there's an opportunity for truth, there's potentially an opportunity for action, and there's an opportunity for surrender.
Yeah. It's so interesting. There takes that kind of stillness in order to get the wisdom, the discernment to know, is there an action here for me to take?
Mm.
And to be able to listen to that. One of the things you and I were talking about is like whether it's avoidance or it's attachment, it's kind of like you have this garden, this beautiful garden, and it's like, well, if you overwater it, if you overstimulate it, too many chemicals, too much processing, you're going to kill the garden.
Yeah.
If you never go over to the garden and you never give it any water or any nurturing and it totally overgrows, you're going to kill the garden.
Yeah.
So whether it's a control by avoidance or by attachment, either way, you kill your garden.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to find, what is the right action, right? One of the things that we were saying as we were preparing for this lecture is control in all its forms is the death of growth.
Yeah.
And so because we all want to grow and we want a healthy, beautiful, thriving garden, it's how do I tend to this garden in ways that will make it the most beautiful? It takes us back to that beautiful serenity prayer.
Yes, I'm so grateful that you pulled that and brought that in, because I think, you know, maybe for listeners and certainly myself this week, it's like, okay, now I see all the ways I control. Now what? and you pulled the serenity prayer, which is,
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And although it feels so simple, and maybe many of us have heard this a million times in our lives, if we really get down to it, this is a prayer of let me not be in control. I'm praying to a higher power that has got me. Whether we consider that nature, the source of love, God, the universe, there is a teammate, and we don't have to be in control because we're not in this alone.
Yeah, I like to think about it what's on your list and what's on my list?
Oh.
You know? Like Byron Katie, she'll go, what's God's business, what's someone else's business, and what's my business?
Ooh.
So you can take this into your morning practice, or it's a great, this serenity prayer is a great evening practice.
Yeah.
So before you go to bed at night, you can literally make a column and be like, what's something that I need to accept because I can't change it?
Yeah.
And what's something that I can change that is in my lane, that is on my side of the sidewalk, where there is an action step that life is calling me to take here, you know? And I think sometimes too, we were brought up thinking that other people were supposed to take care of us when our number one job is to take care of us first. So if we keep handing over this idea of someone else is going to be the one to take care of us, then that means we're not checking in to go, how do I need to take care of myself here?
Right. And then all that it ever does when we put someone else in that position is they can either disappoint us, which will lead us to resentment, or they can do what is expected of them and it'll lead to relief. But neither of those things lead us to happiness. Neither of those things lead us to joy. And neither of those things lead us to our own authentic power. And when we are in our authentic power, we don't have to control anything.
Woo! Mic drop, Roy!
Let's do that.
When we are in our authentic power, we don't have to control it.
Because our authentic power is connected to an unlimited power source that actually will help us and knows what's best.
And that authentic power source comes through truth. So I know we have to wrap up here, and I just wanted to say this one last thing about, you know, last week we were talking about ambition, and you, how Elizabeth Gilbert has this whole thing about, like, when you're driving the car, fear doesn't get to drive, fear has to be in the backseat.
Yes.
And then Rob Bell had this amazing podcast about ambition, and he's like, ambition doesn't get to drive either, but it needs to be in the car. And we were talking yesterday, coming back from the apple picking, that who's supposed to be up front is Dharma and joy, right? And the great thing about joy, when joy is driving our car, it, like, immediately puts us in this beautiful state of surrender.
Has anyone ever wanted to control their joy? Never.
And when you're in control, it's a good sign that joy and Dharma are no longer driving your car, right? So one of the things that we can have the courage to change is say, am I still letting joy drive my car? Am I still letting joy be the forefront of my purpose and my Dharma, like bringing my gifts to the world, being in the forefront? So as I start to, like, cultivate my garden, that is what bears the fruit.
Nothing makes a flower bloom like joy.
Yes, and sometimes we are the ones who kicked joy out of the driver's seat. And we get mad at someone else because of it. But we are the only ones who are who's in control of who's driving.
The one thing we can control is who's driving the car.
That's
so
right.
Let us choose joy. Let us choose love. Let us choose our purpose. And then let us roll down the windows, blast the music, and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, and we'll be really loving and gentle with ourselves when we see our control issues come up and say, oh, poor baby, I'm just scared.
Just scared and doing my very best.
My very best. And I can bring it right back to the serenity prayer.
Yeah.
And heaven will talk to me and tell me what is mine and what is mine to accept or let go of.
Have a beautiful week. If you loved this podcast, share it with a friend. Don't tell them it's because you think they're controlling and they need to hear it. That would be very controlling of you. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at The Create Playgroup. We have exciting news. We just launched our very first Create video series. This is over 7 hours of content of how to bring your dream, your Dharma, your purpose from a little baby seed into manifestation and reality. There's a teaser video. There's all kinds of information on our website. Go check it out. www.thecreateseries.com. Join our Facebook page, The Create Community, or come see a live class in LA or New York. All that info is on the website.
Woo!
We love you so.
We love you.
Bye.
Have the best week ever. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!